Good morning. How are we doing this fine morning? Let everybody get settled down for a second. All right, got a couple announcements this morning. Those of you who have not heard, next weekend, the 18th, go and have the extravaganza at the Fry's place. It's lots of fun. Come join out. Have lots of fun. We also got Destination Unknown for any of the kids, 6th through 12th grade this evening. And I know it's the second Sunday, but there's no potluck after this service, or after the second service on this Sunday. It was just too much for us to do this time. And then there's information in your bulletin. That's this yellow thing for those of you who don't know. There's a lot more information in there. We got the backpacks coming up. VBS is coming up, and I know they're still looking for some help at VBS if any of you feel inclined to do that. Today, we brought him out of retirement and brought him back. You got Pastor Bob today.
Okay. How are we doing? We have the microphone on? Good. Okay. It's really good to be back and share with you. Wow. Wow, I was really touched by those songs and the last one about God's glory. Have you ever experienced God's glory yourself in your life? A few times, maybe? One time for me was a couple months ago in Austria in a room of 25 guys or so. Some of them were Muslim, some were Christians. And we talked about Jesus and what he did for us and how he died for us on the cross. And they asked questions, and I was answering them with an interpreter. And our time was up, and we had to dismiss them because they all had to be back at the government camp by 10 o'clock at night. They got a curfew. And Ali, the translator, said to these guys, "Hey, listen, after what you've heard tonight, could we just all get down on our knees and pray to God together?" And so all these guys got down on their knees in that room. And, you know, and I just led this prayer of trusting Christ, you know, and asking him to be Lord and Savior. And I don't know how many of those Muslim guys prayed along with me. God knows that. But it was like the Holy Spirit was in that room, and we were in the presence of God. We knew it. The truths of the Bible, the truths of the gospel, and what Jesus actually did for us are so powerful. Amen. And you and I probably, you probably experienced what I do is I've been a Christian a while, and so what happens? I forget how great it is. How great our salvation is. Even how great our God is. I forget. Anyway, God's glory. Wow. He is working all over the world. We spent 3 months in Austria this spring. Day after day, we were able to give Bibles out, Gospels, New Testaments to Muslim people who had never read the Bible before. I taught Bible lessons in Farsi, interpreted into Farsi, to people from Iran and Afghanistan, and answered their questions, and they wanted to know more about Jesus. Some became Christians. There's an opportunity there, of course, because the great, great need of those refugees coming out of their home countries into a strange country. And in the first few days, we usually see them, and you know they're lost in several different ways. You know, lost from their God. They don't know Jesus, but they're lost from their families and their home country and everything familiar and the language they're used to speaking and all of these things. And they have come to a place now where they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know their future. And we just care. And I'm just so humbled that we could do this. Just in Matthew 5. All right, what's happening? Jesus said to us, "You are the light of the world." Think about what this means. One place Jesus said that he was the light of the world, right? And he is. But through him, we are also the light of the world. Wow. How do we do that? How do we actually let Jesus shine through us? Most of my life, probably, it hasn't been easy always to see if I'm being a light to anybody. Is that true for you? You know, you go through daily life and you wonder, am I making a difference? You know, what is Jesus showing through me that could actually bring somebody to him? And I struggle with that. I don't know any quick, easy answers, but I want to talk about that today. And I hope you'll remember two things from this message today. First of all, that you will remember that you are really here to be a light. That, you know, if you are a light, you're fulfilling the purpose that you're here for. Otherwise, when you come to Jesus, you might as well just go to heaven right now. You know, no sense in hanging around earth any longer. But Jesus, God has left you here so that you can go ahead and touch a lot of other people's lives as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And the world needs light, don't you think? People you know need Jesus. And this is what really matters in life. This is what really matters. What really matters is not your job. You know, it's not your education. It's not your reputation. It's not your friends. It's not your entertainment. It's not, you know, what you're building or what you're doing or what you're accomplishing. It's not how much money you're making. None of that really matters. What matters is you be a light for Jesus. So, you know, drop some of the other things. Make a priority of being a light for Jesus. Ask God, examine my life, God. Show me. You seek to be a light. Pray every day that God will help you be a light. And don't let lesser things stand in the way of this. Okay, that's the first thing I hope you'll take away today. And the second thing I hope you'll take away is some better idea of how to do that. In 1 John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are traveling from Galilee in the north. Here, I have some magic here, a little technology. Galilee in the north, okay, Sea of Galilee, down to Jerusalem. And on the way, they chose a route that went through Samaria, this area. And you remember the story that Jesus stopped in the village of Sychar, and there was a woman by the well, and he talked with her, and by the time they were done with their conversation, this woman had come to believe that Jesus was truly her Messiah and her Savior, and she went and told all the whole village, and she was not a very nice woman either. She had big problems, big sin in her life, but God totally cleansed her. And she told everybody else about it. And pretty soon, half the village had come to follow Jesus. And I want you to notice what Jesus did there. He chose where he went. He went out of his way to be where lost people were. And Jesus did this a lot. He went and ate with tax collectors. He was always ready to meet and be with people who most needed God. So if you want to be Jesus' light in the world, then figure out ways that you can be with lost people. And that might be different from the way we normally plan our lives, because we probably normally plan our lives with a lot of time around our best friends and the people we really like and who really like us and that we enjoy and that we're comfortable around and with family. And we oftentimes center it all around what makes us feel good instead of pursuing the discomfort of being with people who are different from us. And, you know, it's a little bit scary sometimes to go into the oasis with, 70 or 80 or 90 foreigners. Only maybe a few of them can speak any English. And what are we going to do? You know, you feel vulnerable. You feel like, what are we going to do? Well, how are we going to get anything done tonight? And God always makes it happen. But I'm just saying that if you want to be a light, you have to be around lost people. A light is rather useless in the daylight. A light is needed in the darkness. So, Christian, spend some time where it's dark. That's where your light is needed. When you go to work, when you go to the store, when you go to a sports event, when you go to school, wherever you go, you know, what are you going to do then? There are people there that need Jesus. You're going to run into them. I just suggest some practical thoughts here, because we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? How do we really do that? I mean, those are nice words, but what happens that brings about an expression of love? Let me just say some things. Oh yeah. Now, why did I miss that? Yeah, that was on here. His great commission to us. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. This is the great commandment, the last commandment Jesus gave at the end before he ascended to heaven. And what does he say here? Go. So that's why I say, go out of your way to be around lost people. That's going. If you don't do that, you're not going. So think about it. Build it into your life. The idea that, where can I find people to go to? Here's what we've got to do, folks. Here's what we've got to do. Number one, notice people. You know, so busy, run. Here we don't even notice anybody. And so, you know, the bigger city you are in America, the worse that is, right? When you're out in a rural country area and there's not too many people in small towns, people tend to notice people. But wherever you are, just notice people. Greet people. Learn their names and use their names. That's kind of like a fundamental principle of relationship. It's hard to remember names, I know. I write them down a lot. I hear a name, I write it down. Then I know I can go back and find it when I forget it. And it's not if I forget it, it's when I forget it. And greet people, use their names. Talking about, you know, people you just met and that you want to get to know better, show an interest in them. Find out what they are interested in. Let them ask them questions. Let them talk to you. You build a little bit more relationship that way, and then make little connections with them. Help them if you have an opportunity. Or even better, sometimes ask for help. You want to connect with somebody a little bit more? Ask them for help. It's a strange how that works, but it's a humble position to be asking for help. And when you're humbling yourself, I need you, that tends to connect you with people. And they feel like you must be important to them, or you wouldn't ask for their help. So So we do this. See, we're around lost people. We do things to that make connections, and then what? Mark 4:3, Jesus talked about the farmer who went out to sow his seed. Being a light for Jesus is a lot of seed sowing. It's spreading around little things. You know, most of the time, you're not going to get a hold of a new acquaintance and grab them by the lapel and then preach them a sermon for an hour about Jesus. You know, that's not sowing a seed. You know, that's dumping a whole semi-truck load of seed on the guy. Most people absorb truth only a little bit at a time anyway. They hear something, they think about it a little bit, and then, in other words, you know, too much at once doesn't get processed by the listener. But you sow seed. You're a seed planter. You don't preach. You don't convert anybody, because that's God's job. You cannot convert a single soul. And when we try, that's when we get into the most trouble, you know, because then the people feel pressure from us to do something to please us. And what they need to do is feel pressure from the Holy Spirit to respond to their God. So we don't cause seed to grow, do we? So at the Oasis in Austria, we don't preach at the refugees either. Except on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights, we have a Bible lesson, and we definitely preach at them. But it's all up front. They know it. It's announced in six languages on our window that we're having a Bible lesson on this night. If you want to hear the Bible lesson, come and hear a Bible lesson, and you're going to get preached to. But we're up front about it, see? We're not ambushing anybody. And the place is still full every week. Never ceases to amaze me how week after week we would have a room that's, you know, maybe two-thirds full of Muslims come to hear a lesson in the Bible. But see, the Holy Spirit has been drawing them already and seeking them. And, in the room, this room here, we have missionaries and we have volunteers from several different countries, 8 or 10 maybe, even as many as 15 volunteers in a night sometimes. And, you know, we all love Jesus and we all love each other. And we're there to serve and we're happy in the Lord and we're a team. And refugees come in, and some for the first time, and they may be anxious. I need to show you. There's the team. That's the team that we worked with over there. With one guy is missing because he was in America at the time that the picture was taken. But there's an Australian couple, and the rest are Americans. And then in addition to that, as I said, we have people from several different countries that are in Austria, including many Austrians that volunteer. Refugees come in, and they can be anxious, and we greet them at the door. We offer them chai or coffee. That's the kitchen where we serve 100 to 150 cups every night we're open. And we are genuinely glad they're there. In our hearts, we're glad to see them. We're there because we love them. God has given us a love for them. And so if you want to be a light for Jesus, ask God to give you a love for people. And even a person you've never met. But we love them, and when they come, they know they are cared about. And the refugees will tell us, everyone is so nice here. We feel at home. You welcome us. Some places we've been, they didn't want us. And you are welcoming to us. And so in the ministry, you see, we are all a part of creating that atmosphere. And you are a part of creating that atmosphere in the church. Because the church is a place where lost people sometimes just show up. I know of several that have come to Jesus right here in one of the seats in this room because they showed up and they heard. You know, maybe this morning that's you. Maybe you are here and you really don't know that you're going to heaven and that Jesus has forgiven you. You really haven't made that faith connection to him and said to Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I want to follow you. I need you, Lord. Jesus, come into my life. I want to be yours. You've never done that? Do it today. Do it right now. Now as I'm talking. In Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul said to an audience, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that is all it takes. Now, that belief, of course, must be genuine. We're not talking about just saying words. But if in your heart you can say, Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I do believe in you. That's the step you must take. And when you do that, your status before God changes. And you become his child. You're not far from him. You've come close to him. He's going to take care of you. He's going to work in your life. And so, if that's you this morning, I just share that because this is, see, I'm planting a seed in your life. If you're far from God, that seed of the gospel, and I pray by God's grace, you will receive it and receive Jesus. So, let me add this, that there is a cost for faith. There's a price. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, well, you must actually follow him. Words, just empty words, are not true faith. But when you choose to believe in Jesus, he is the strong one. You're weak. He holds on to you. But you hold on to him as best you can. I gave a young man from Iran a Gospel of Luke in Farsi. And in fact, it was this, one of these. And he took it and read it, and he came back, and he said to me, this is beautiful. I've never read anything like this. Now, a couple days later, he said to me, I know I must follow Jesus, but I can't sleep at night. I'm awake until 5 a.m. I don't know what to do about Muhammad. You see what a spiritual battle was happening in this young man. And a couple of weeks later, he was baptized. He made his choice. But he can never return to Iran. His family in Iran, they can come and see him, but he can't go back. And they may reject him. Some of his friends could seek to kill him if they knew, if they were nearby. He was facing a price for choosing Jesus. We became very aware there at the Oasis that every time we gave a gospel to a Muslim, that he might lose his life because he met us and through us he met Jesus. Wow. All these guys and many more that I knew there were raised Muslim and now follow Jesus. These are some of the guys that were in the room when we all got on our knees and prayed together. And that's the room. This particular guy here, he just received Christ a couple weeks before we left and came home. His wife was already a Christian. This is Ali, the translator. They all come. Most of these guys are from Iran, and some are from Afghanistan. I'll show you their picture because, first of all, you notice the joy. These guys' lives have been changed, and you know they love the Lord and they love to be together. Some of them just been a Christians a few weeks. Some maybe as much as a year. And how did I say this? I feel really selfish because I've had the opportunity to go and be a light in a place where we saw so much response. And I feel very, very like most Christians don't get this chance. You know, because this doesn't happen in most of our lives most of the time, that you just see floods of people coming to Jesus. You know, it's rare. It's unusual. It's not the usual. Usually, we plod along through life, and we try to be a light wherever we are, and hopefully, over our lifetime, there'll be some real people that we touch, and God will use us. And this is what I pray for all of you here, all of us. We had the privilege of being in a place where there was an outpouring. And so I praise God for that, but I feel humbled. I wish everybody could share that experience, but then it's not about having an experience. It's about being faithful. The Christian life is about being faithful, whether you see something happening or not. Right? So when we are faithful, though, God will work. When you go out of your way to be around people who are lost, and we did kind of go out of our way to be around lost people, didn't we? you're going into battle. Satan will oppose you. And this is without question. This is Ali and Marzia. Ali is the translator that I worked with. He personally led two guys to Christ during the time we were there this spring. And he's become much more of a translator. He's become a pastor to Farsi-speaking people. He's only been a Christian, I think, 2 years now. I was meeting with him every week, and so was Scott Walt from the church. So he had two different mentors in his life during that time. And he's had a couple of other guys, too, mentoring him. And we're really trying to prepare him and help him to grow further in his leader as a Christian, as a spiritual leader in that church and in the Oasis. And he is growing. And, you know, when we first worked together a year ago or a year and a half ago, he would come and say, "I really don't know the Bible. Can you answer questions and I'll interpret?" Now you can't say that. He can answer most of the questions. He's really delved into the Bible, and he's become, and he teaches Bible lessons at the Oasis part of the time. I shared their pictures, though, especially because the church in Austria has just appointed them now to be full-time missionaries to refugees. And so they've officially made them missionaries that they are going to support, and they're looking for support to help, pay them a salary so they can live and he can spend full time. But I mentioned that when you go out of your way to be around lost people, you're going into a spiritual battle and Satan will attack you. Pray for them because they really have an insane schedule. Everybody's depending on Ali everywhere he goes to interpret in Farsi. And he's got too much on his plate. So he's young and healthy and strong, but I don't want to see him carry on that pace very much longer, and I'm concerned that he's going to be okay. So you could pray for him. All right, I'm almost done. So it's closing thoughts. Think about this, that just your presence can be planting seeds. I mean, love is the first seed you plant. Kindness. Are you kind? Are you a kind person? Ask God to help you with that. And we're talking about now, the very first step with a person is really not the words you say, it's relationship. So be kind. And then when someone is facing a problem, you might pray for them. Offer to pray for them. I prayed for many Muslims in Austria. They were not yet believers in Jesus, but they were grateful. They had problems. They had things they were worried about. And they experienced a Christian who cares. I even offered to pray for an atheist once on an airplane. And he was grateful. My atheist neighbor one time came and asked me to pray. And he said, "You probably think I'm crazy." You know, because, but he says, I don't know if I believe in God, but I believe in prayer. We can laugh, but his sister was dying, and he was hurting. By God's grace, that was a seed. I pray for him to come to Jesus. You might keep a couple of Gospels handy. I have Arabic, Farsi. Here's the New Testament in Arabic. But here, maybe on our level here, here's a Gospel of John. It's really designed for new believer or unbelievers, called the Essential Jesus. It has a few notes that explain things, and it's just the Gospel of John. Here's this one. I love this New Testament, Living Water, How to Find God for Those Who Thirst. It's a New Testament in the New Living Translation. But you might keep these around because that's a seed you can plant at the right moment when it comes up, and you never know when that'll happen. I gave one to an atheist woman once on an airplane. And we'd had this long talk about various things, our children and all sorts of other things. And then it came out, finally, that I was a pastor. I knew it would come out eventually. So I asked her then, I said, "Have you ever read the Gospels?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, it seems to me like you need to do a little more research before you decide to be an atheist. You know, because you can't really make that decision. That's an important decision. Without even knowing what Jesus said and what he was all about, you should at least read the four Gospels and find out." So I gave her a Gospel, and I mean, she was very open, and I hope she read it. I'm just saying that there are ways to plant seeds, but we need to be ready and prepared. My nephew in Austria makes friendships with people. And then, as God is leading him, he asks them to read the Bible with him. And they meet every week, and they'll read the Gospel of John together and discuss it. And several people have come to Christ through that approach. In summary, be intentional about being a light, would you? Be intentional about going to lost people. And then plant seeds. You don't convert people. God does that. We Americans like to be in control, don't we? So we'd like to get a guy and we say we're going to give him the Gospel, and then he's going to pray, and then he's going to receive Jesus. And it's all going to be according to my formula. We're, controlling Americans. That's kind of our nature, but we got to give that up. Let the Holy Spirit work in the Holy Spirit's time, but don't be passive. Go out of your way. Love people. People are lonely. People need a friend. People need the Lord. you can make a difference. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us one life to live. And what we do with that life, Lord, can be for eternity, or most of it can be just for stuff that is here and gone. Make us very aware every day, each one of these dear brothers and sisters here today, each of us, that we matter and that you're counting on us to be a light for you. And Lord, it's a privilege. And we don't have to produce any results because that's totally your job. Help us with this, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.